conference will now be recorded.
Ashanta, you're muted.
I'm so sorry. Can you all hear me now?
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
Perfect. So I'm going to start with our members present. We have Dr. Claudia Rivero. We have Ms.
Here.
Ms. Janet S. McKee.
Here.
Okay, we have Ms. Rebecca McKinnon.
Here.
And then we have our staff is present, Mr. Allen Hall, and then myself, Ashanti Martin. And then we have members not present, Dr. Lori Wright, and then Ms. Lucia Besseller. And they informed the council ahead of time that they were not going to be able to attend this meeting. Yes. Then we have our Assistant Attorney General, Ms. Kara Akins.
Here.
Thank you, Ashanti.
Okay.
Okay, we ready to call the meeting to order, Mr. Hall?
Yes, please.
Thank you guys for being here. We appreciate everyone being on the phone call as well as those that are listening in to our meeting. Welcome to our meeting, November 6th. This is our last meeting of 2025, if we can all believe that. So let's go ahead and get started. Without further ado, yeah, let's go ahead. We're going to begin with Christina Spencer. She has applied examination with waiver. And is Ms. Spencer on the call?
Ms. Spencer,
she may not be on the call. As you recall from our pre-meeting, you were able to review the materials that she submitted subsequent to the last meeting, and based on your review and approval, that license has been issued.
Oh, excellent. All right, good. I appreciate that. Do we need to make a motion on that, Mr. Hall?
No, there's no motion needed.
Thank you, Cara. Thank you, Mr. Hall. All right. And I'm not sure. I'm going to go through the names for those of you that are on the call. We did have a pre-meeting, so some of these individuals, we've made decisions, but I just want to make sure I don't want to skip over anyone's name on the list, as well as if they're here and want to represent themselves. Daniela Rodriguez Navarro.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Ms. Navarro. Okay, Ms. Navarro, you have applied for licensure, and I apologize, my system suddenly slowed down. I'm not sure if everyone's system suddenly kind of slowed down. I want to make sure I read it. All right, you've applied by examination, and currently, Ms. Navarro, as our counsel looked over your application, your 900-hour form has been signed off by a psychologist.
Yes. Yes, okay. She is the head of the Department of Internship, so she's the ones who have to write the official document.
Okay, I'm not sure if I heard the rest of your sentence. She's the one that has to sign off on what? I apologize.
I'm sorry. She's the one who has to sign the official documents for the internship or practice.
Okay. So in the state of Florida, our licensure states that the individuals that are signing off for dietitians and nutritionists must also have a background in nutrition and dietetics. One of the key questions that maybe myself and other council members would like to discuss with you is, were there other individuals with a background in nutrition and dietetics that helped you work on this so that we could maybe get credit for some of these hours or discuss that with you?
Yeah, well, it was all Department of Nutrition there where I did my internship and my practice. Also, I did practice in a military hospital in Mexico too, and I worked for 5, almost 6 years in a nutrition for a football team in Mexico. So I have like a lot of practice, but it's in Mexico. It's not here. So when I did my application, I asked, and I think before have there is another person who helped me with this. I don't remember the name, but when I did my application, I asked her if there is like something that I can do to demonstrate that background, and I also sent an letter for my work there for the training and the hospital and another health center that I did practice. So I don't know, is that enough? But I sent all the papers, all the documents.
We have to have a licensed professional or a similar credential signed off all our hours, and we do not have that based on my review. Is that correct?
No, I sent my license. I sent my license for Mexico, and I sent the master degree, the degree, all the documents. So I sent West sent my documents too, and it was there.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. We did receive your educational transcripts. That's correct. The question is, and this is what our council is here to work with you on. The question that we have is, we're not allowed in the state of Florida to have an individual that is not licensed in nutrition and dietetics sign off on your pre-professional experience on your 900-hour form. The individual that we have that you submitted that signed off on your 900-hour form is a psychologist. Unfortunately, a psychologist, unless this person also is double licensed in nutrition and dietetics, which that's something that I don't know if that person is, and this is why we wanted you on our call, is for us to kind of dig deeper into your history and see if there were maybe was there an individual that is licensed in nutrition and dietetics. Being that you're applying, right, for a license in nutrition and dietetics, the individual that signs off on all of your work must also be licensed in nutrition and dietetics. And this is to make sure that our Florida residents have equal opportunity, that the individuals that are covering nutrition, that everyone that has been involved in your history and us putting down that, you know, you're licensed, that they are also licensed in the profession and they understand the competencies so that the health requirements can be maintained. So our question to you is, was there a licensed nutritionist or dietitian that signed off on your hours so that we can maybe include that and look at this going forward with you?
The thing is, the person who signed the hours is the head of the department, because if someone else signed it, it's not official. I don't know if I can explain.
Let me stop you real quick.
I work with a lot of nutritionists, but they are not.
Let me see if I can help you out for a second.
Yes.
Doing your work that you put on your 900 hours, we understand that with the internship program, there is a supervisor that's over all the internship programs. But is there somebody who supervised you more on an individual basis that was a licensed dietitian or nutritionist?
Yeah, but was.
So there is someone that is licensed as a dietitian or nutritionist.
Yes, but in Mexico, not in Florida.
That's
you know,
okay.
Then the license is equal than me.
Okay. That's okay, because in the rule it says license under, you know, a Florida licensed dietitian or nutritionist or healthcare provider with similar background, which a licensed nutritionist or dietitian in Mexico is the same thing. So if we could get that person to sign your 900 hour form, then I think the council would like to see that, because that lets the council know that you were supervised by somebody who is knowledgeable in the area of dietetics and nutrition.
Okay, but even if it's not like official sign, I mean, the head of the department is the person who signs. So the other person doesn't have the status for sign up official document.
So let me ask you this. Can they both sign it? Can they both sign the same form? Can you have the licensed dietitian or nutritionist sign it, and then the supervisor over the internship sign right under her?
Well, maybe, but the thing is, I did this like 10 years ago, so I have to find the person in that year, so maybe.
Well, and it doesn't have to be the exact person. Many times we run into the same thing in America, Ms. Rodriguez, in that those individuals, as long as they have, most of the times they all have record of your, you know, program attendance and your program hours. And those individuals that are currently licensed dietitians and nutritionists that can verify that they supervise, that someone within that department supervised you at those times, that's fine. If it's not the exact same person, we would like to just make sure we let you know it has to be someone with the license, and you need to just maybe put their name and a copy of their licensure within that Mexican governmental like official stamp that they are a licensed dietitian nutritionist. And as well as Ms. Akins was saying that, and the psychologist, the individual that's actually over the program, they can all sign. But at this point, we're wanting you to definitely try to get the hours signed off. Otherwise, you know, this is not going to work for you currently. And we want to make sure we communicate that we want to work with you on this.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
I'm sure if you have the licensing board in Mexico, because there's a fee collected, I am sure if you recall those people's names that you can search for them and find them. For example, each county, you can, in at least in Florida, you can look at people's licensure per county. And I am positive they have a similar system in Mexico. So I believe that you would be able to find that individual or some individuals that you worked with previously if necessary.
Okay, so I need the sign of this person and his license, and that, and that's it. Just to send it.
Mm-hmm. But they need to be the licensed professional in the field of nutrition and dietetics that can verify that this has been your background and these are your hours.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So, before we move forward, and because it's because you need to send in more documentation to the council for their review, there's a deemer clause, and it requires the council to act on your application within a certain amount of days. Based on the information that you have submitted thus far with your application, the council would not be able to approve your application. And a denial is a basis, can be a basis for another denial in the future. So today you can waive the deemer clause, and that waives the requirement for the council to act on your application within 90 days. So this way it'll give you time to get that documentation signed, and it'll give the council time to review the documentation once you send it in. And then, you know, you can appear at the next meeting, however the council wants to set this one up. So do you waive the deemer clause today?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
So the council is required to make a decision on your application, today. They can either accept or deny. From the conversation of the council, they would not be able to approve your application today. So waiving the deemer gives you time to get those additional documents, and it gives council time to review those documents. But you have to waive the deemer in order, you know, to get that, to get more time.
I think I can have the documents maybe this week and send it to you before that 90 hours of.
So it would be beneficial for you to waive the deemer, because if the council has to act on your application today at this meeting, and if you don't waive the deemer, it sounds like they will deny your application. So you waiving the deemer is just saying
in your best interest,
you don't have to, you know, make a decision on my application today, because I understand if you make a decision on my application, it's going to be denied.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have to. Yeah, I need the deemer, please.
Okay. So, counsel, if someone would like to make a motion requiring that the applicant send in the documentation within a certain amount of days, and either require her to appear at one of the next two meetings. I'm not sure where you guys want to go on this.
Thank you, Cara. Quick question for you on a legal question. Mm-hmm. When I, on my motion, do I need to state that Mrs. Rodriguez accepted the deemer, that she's waiving the deemer clause?
No, it'll be in the order. When I write the order, I will put it in the order that the applicant waived the deemer, so deemer won't be an issue.
Thank you. Okay, so Ms. Rodriguez, you're welcome to continue to listen. I just want to make a motion on your recent decision. I'd like to make a motion that we have Mrs. Rodriguez turn in additional documents regarding preceptor that is licensed in the field of nutrition and dietetics, and have her return at I'm going to give her more time. I would like to say over the next two meetings, just to give her that space. Over the next two meetings.
I second that motion.
Do you want to, before we vote on that, do you want to require her appearance?
No, that's a really good one. Let me make a motion that her appearance is not required unless it is not required. You have the option of appearing, but it is not required. And in lieu of the fact that we will review the documentation and make the decision based on documents submitted.
Okay, so let me make sure that I have this wrapped up.
Thank you.
The council wants her to submit additional documentation showing that, showing a licensed preceptor in the arena of dietetics and nutrition. She is not required to appear, and the council will review her application at the next meeting after she submits the documentation. So after she submits the documentation, then her application will be placed on the next, that next meeting. So when is our next meeting? Our next meeting is, February 5th. So if she were to submit her documentation March, then it'll be on, her application will be on the next meeting. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure that everyone understands that and that she understands.
Thank you. and I do that, Ms. Rodriguez, I want to give you time. I don't want to give you a short, you sounded confident that you could get the material, but I want to make sure I give you space and time to collect the material. Let me take a vote on this, guys. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Those opposed?
So,
Ms. Rodriguez, thank you so much. Do you have any questions?
Yes. So if I had the document and the information, the sign and the license for this person, I don't know, maybe in January, I can send it to you, but my meeting will be until March? Just
no. February. It'll be February.
Yeah. February 5th.
I was giving an example.
Okay. Yeah. Just to be sure. So I can, as soon as possible, I'm gonna, make sure that I have this document and send them to you for email or direct to the web page.
You can email the documents.
Okay. So, and then you will tell me, I don't know, maybe that day, February, you have your meeting, right?
Yes. So, Ms.
Rodriguez,
you'll get an order that recaps everything that happened today. And after you send in the supplemental information to the board, to the council office, they will send you a meeting notice that will let you know the meeting date that your application will be put on.
Okay, perfect. And just one more question. Mm-hmm. Is the only thing that I need that my application has, like, issue for something said? Is the only thing? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
No, thank you. We appreciate you being here and explaining it to us. We always appreciate when individuals are here so that we can walk through your portfolios and we can really kind of touch base on everything. So thank you very much. In the meantime, have a happy holidays, and we hope to get all your paperwork soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Okay. Are we ready to move on? All right. Let's go to tab number three, Gabriela Nunez. Okay, Ms. Nunez has applied application by examination. she has done her 900-hour form. She has submitted her supervisor's licensing from Venezuela. In fact, I'm not sure. Is Ms. Nunez on the call, or she also, we told her she did not need to appear?
She was sent a notice to appear.
Okay. And I think everything is, Ms. Nunez, are you on the call? Okay.
And it's the council's discretion. If you wish to move forward without her appearance, that's fine.
Yes, yeah. That's fine. Council members, any question regarding this file? Anyone need to kind of review or look over it and just make any comments? Ms. McKee, any questions? Ms. McKinnon, any questions? All good?
All good.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and make a motion. Go ahead, Mr. Hall, I apologize.
I don't mean to interrupt, but just FYI, if you're planning on approving the application, just note that that will be contingent upon receiving a background screen. We've requested the background screening.
Got it.
But we do not have that yet. Ashanti, I believe you said you're having difficulty contacting the individual because we don't have an email. You've left phone messages. Is that correct?
Yes, we don't have a email on file, so all correspondence have been sent to the address on file. And I've called and left voicemails.
Mm. Very strange.
So, again, the council can still act upon the application. We're just, the license would not be issued until we have a clear screen.
All right.
So, Mr. Hall, let me ask you, would the council need to do, like, a conditional approval upon a passing background screening?
That would probably be advisable, yes, to do a conditional approval.
Okay. Thank you. Will do. Okay. Then I'd like to make a motion that we approve Mrs. Gabriela Nunez's application by examination with the contingency that she has passed her background screening.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Janet.
Rebecca.
That was Rebecca. Thank you, Rebecca. I apologize. Let's take a vote. Okay. All in favor, vote aye.
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 Those opposed, vote no. Thank you, Council. Okay, moving on to tab four, Ms. Amanda Garcia.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, hi, Amanda. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your presence.
Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Okay, Ms. Garcia, you have applied. Hang on, I apologize again. You have applied, sorry, you guys, my go-to meeting is probably one of my slowest tabs. So every time I press a name, it takes a few minutes for the application to pop up, and I want to make sure I introduce you properly, Ms. Garcia.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your patience. It's a slow program. All right, examination by waiver. You have submitted your 900-hour form. You also have submitted all of the supervisory license verification. Council, does anyone have any questions regarding this portfolio?
No, I reviewed everything. It looks good.
Okay, excellent. I did too. All right. If we're ready, I'll go ahead and make a motion. All right. I'd like to make a motion then that we accept Ms. Amanda Garcia's application via waiver in licensure.
I'll second that. It's Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda, for doing such a beautiful portfolio. We really appreciate it. Thank you again.
Thank you. This is a big day.
I know. We agree with you. We appreciate your hard work. Thanks again. Have a wonderful holiday. Okay.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. You know what, Mr. Hall? I realized that in the beginning of the meeting, I should have moved up those tabs. Can I do that now, those individuals that are at the bottom of our list? Is that okay?
Yes, this is actually the appropriate time to do it. We've completed the 1 through 4, so if you want to jump to the remaining tabs, 14, 15, and 17, now's the appropriate time.
Okay, great. So as I look, I don't know if any of you guys, but 14, 15, 17, some of these have gotten removed. Am I looking at the right tab? How come I only have 17?
It's under the addendum tab if you drop it.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought my head was going nuts. All right. All right. So tab number 14, I'd like to move and jump to tab 14 under the addendum tab. And I'm looking at Amira Garcia Barrios.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate that. All right. Thank just you. Give me 1 second, Ms. Barrios. I'm opening up your file. So you have applied application by examination.
Correct.
Thank you. And I'm looking at all of your 900-hour forms, and you've done a beautiful job of turning those in. And I also see that you created a beautiful chart for us to follow regarding your preceptors, and it was very easy to follow. Council members, do you have any questions, any concerns regarding Ms. Barrios' application?
No.
Okay. All right, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion if council's ready. I'd like to motion that Ms. Amira Garcia Barrios has been approved by application by examination.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. McKinnon. All those in favor vote yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Those opposed vote no. Okay. Motion passed. Again, thank you so much for the beautiful portfolio. It's very easy for us to walk through. Thank you for being here, and we hope you have a happy holiday.
Thank you so much. You too.
Absolutely. Thank you. Sure. Okay. I get nervous every time I say happy holidays because I know how much I have to cook and who all's coming over. So every time I think ahead, I'm just a little bit blown. It's all good. I'm already making my list of food and recipes. All right. So let's move on to tab 15. We have Ms. Shannon Manning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Manning, we all have looked at your portfolio. You are applying application by examination.
Yes.
Thank you. And I'm opening up your 900-hour form. It looks like, Ms. Manning, that you've done two different 900-hour forms, which is fine. One of them looks like you completed hours within the WIC program in New York. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then the hours that you've submitted for clinical, where we're running into an issue is the individual that has signed off in these hours, a Rachel Moody, is a nurse practitioner. Was there anyone that reviewed your work that was in the field of nutrition and dietetics?
There was somebody I worked alongside, but it wasn't within Shrub Oak International School. It was a contracted company through the dining department for AVI Food Systems. But I was not working underneath them, no.
Was there at any time maybe some of these hours or anyone that had reviewed your work or that worked alongside of you that is licensed in the field of nutrition and dietetics?
At Shrub Oak, no.
Say it again, I apologize.
At Shrub Oak International School, no.
I think she's asking at any point in your career for your clinical hours, did a licensed professional nutrition expert, such as a licensed dietitian, did anybody supervise your work? It doesn't matter.
At Sun River Health, where I've been since May, I was supervised by registered dietitians, Danielle Wolf.
Okay. Did you submit that person's paperwork?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Does she need to sign the 900-hour form under the 300 slot for clinical?
The Mrs. Wolf, all right, I'm just pulling up your 900, your other part of your portfolio. So the work that you worked with Danielle Wolf, it looked like that was primarily WIC operational type activity.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So that is more of community nutrition. All right. Were there at any time during your time with Mrs. Wolf, who is licensed in nutrition and dietetics, did you happen to do any of the work that you did under Ms. Moody that Mrs. Wolf was aware of, that person can also sign off on more of the clinical aspects? Because sometimes there's a partnership.
Between these two individuals, no. But in my position at Sun River Health, I made nutrition care plans for the participants and gave them nutritional support through counseling and nutrition education techniques. Let's see. Yeah.
Okay, so this is still in the WIC, correct? All of
that's
that
correct.
WIC. Okay, so because that's community nutrition and clinical nutrition is a different definition, which would be high-risk individuals, tube feeds, things that you normally see in a clinical situation, which is our individuals that are checked into a hospital that you actually work on nutrition and disease while they're in a facility like a hospital. Was there a dietitian that you might could call on to help you with some of these hours?
There is a position at a children's hospital here for Golisano Children's Hospital, and they are interested in me. However, I must be qualified to take the exam, which is what this board meeting is for.
Yeah, I totally get that. So we're at this point where I'm not as concerned. I realize that may be something in your future. But I want to try to get, I want to make sure that you understand that a nurse practitioner that signed off on these hours is not an individual that's licensed in nutrition and dietetics unless she is. Or is Ms. Rachel Moody licensed maybe in this as well? Many times people are double licensed.
I have a question. So when you worked with ABI, what did you do for them?
So I was a point of contact for the students. I arrived at Shrub Oak about a year before they arrived on scene, and I helped set up the nutritional department there, which included getting to know the students. It's a very specific population, looking through their clinical backgrounds, their physiological information, what medical conditions they had, what drugs they were on, and beyond that, learning their behavior and what they could and could not eat and what we could work towards them eating. And I took the information I learned from them in that first year and relayed that to the AVI food system team to help them design a menu and create meal plans for the students.
So just to be clear, this was a student, not a clinical situation.
So, yes, it was a residential boarding school for students with autism, but multiple diseases, including behavioral disorders. Mm-hmm. And they lived there on campus, so there was education. There was also a clinical team. I was under the health and wellness team. So they were receiving medical treatment there as well. So and I worked between the clinical and dining. Mm-hmm.
But who was the licensed dietitian? Because you have to have a licensed dietitian. Did that person do your work?
Well, there was one. And we did work together. She did see my work. She's no longer with AVI, and I'm not sure who's currently there.
Well, what state is this in?
New York.
Well, New York has licensure, and AVI is going to, they're a contract management company. They are going to require to have registration. So if you remember that person's name, you can search on the academy for her RD. And find her that way, but in the state of New York, I'm pretty sure they have licensure there as well, and you could track her down that way, mm-hmm. and then that person that you collaborated with would be appropriate to sign your clinical hours. Is that correct, Dr. Rivero?
Yes, ma'am. Just exactly, Janet. And I think the other thing, Ms. Manning, that we want to kind of make sure it's very similar to the other client, we're okay. You've gotten an individual to sign off that you actually did the hours. I would need to go back. All of the hours that you did under the nurse practitioner, were they at this, the live-in facility?
Yes.
So it's not a hospital?
No.
So when you say therapeutic boarding school, they were providing medications, but the clinical realm, and to bring to Claudia's point, is that the clinical hours usually are providing medical nutritional therapy. Were there tube feedings? Did you have to do any IVF, TPN therapy? Were there diagnostics such as diabetes? Because usually your clinical hours are going to be in acute or long-term care setting. Are a CFMR, therapeutic boarding schools, because I'm familiar with that, we service those. They generally do not have, they're not considered a medical model. So we would have to clarify what services were provided to make sure that they meet the expectation of clinical. But as far as finding the dietitian, you have to establish, do they meet the clinical realm? So, Claudia, could you explain, add to what I just explained about the clinical hours?
Right. And do you have a question so far, Ms. Manning, before we keep going on? I want to make sure where you're at.
I think I understand. This person through AVI is not included in clinical decisions. Because as Ms. McKee said, they're a contract food company. the only people doing clinical work, for example, doing the tube feedings, there was one student who had that, and we also had metabolic syndrome and diabetes that we worked with, but I would say those departments are quite separate, which was my role in joining the two, is relaying information to the food team. But that dietitian, I wouldn't say that they had knowledge about really specific students or their care in that capacity.
So that person really did not supervise your work?
Through AVI, that's correct.
Is there any other situations you've had in an acute care setting, a long-term care setting like a nursing home or an ICFMR for that's a licensed healthcare facility as well that would facilitate supervision by a licensed dietitian or a licensed nutritionist in the state of New York that you would be able to provide that to the council? If you're not in a position to do that, certainly you can collect those 300 hours mm-hmm. and get that revisited.
Okay. I can do that. I'm also wondering what would be a definition. So, of course, WIC is a community nutrition program, but through this position, I was designing and implementing nutrition care plans and performing basic physical assessments, such as taking their hemoglobin, height, and weight. So did those not count as clinical hours because it was at a WIC setting?
In my opinion, they do not count. Your community nutrition is a separate type of client with a different set of regulations and goals. And mm-hmm. you would have to be practicing under a licensed dietitian. You just would. So basically it sounds like that in the setting that you were in, you were practicing without a license, which is what we're here to try to get you a license. For us as a board to approve you, which we would love to do, we have to have some kind of proof that you actually did the 300 clinical hours in an appropriate setting. The clinical realm is going to include skilled nursing facilities, LTACs, which are long-term care, acute care hospitals, community hospitals, and an acute care hospital or rehabilitation center, such as there are different names for them. But if you could find one that you could do your 300 hours under, somebody there will take you in. They're always looking for volunteers, and you could mm-hmm. do those hours and resubmit your form, and we would absolutely love to approve that.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan. I will definitely do that. And okay, so from what I understand, because I'm looking at the 900-hour form now, and it sounds like my experience does qualify under clinical nutrition practice, but you're saying it's not the correct setting.
Well, I don't know how you cannot count your community hours as your clinical hours. You can't double dip. So you have to have mm-hmm. a separate column or silo, if you will, that demonstrates mm-hmm. competencies in more acute care setting or people that are truly sick with multiple comorbidities, such as CHF, COPD, heart disease, those kind of things, which you only had one tube feeding, and to be fair to our goal is to protect our residents in the state of Florida and our clients in the state of Florida. And for us to be able to provide you the approval, we have to have someone co-sign oversee your work that would be administering these type of services, and you would need to be under their wing, so to speak. For example, at an LTAC, you're going to have people that have refrigerated bowels, you're going to have people that have diabetes, CHF, COPD. So really, the setting is very different than what you're going to find in the community.
Okay, understood. So I will get 300 hours of clinical care experience.
Correct. And what, and Ms. Manning, making sure that, you know, you see the difference of a community, having community assessments on individuals versus medical nutrition therapy with individuals with very complex medical diseases. So there's a difference of you doing an assessment, heights, weights, meal planning, nutrition education in a community setting, because most of the times those community settings are making sure we touch base on a population that needs care, advisement, and guidance, because maybe they don't always get medical care at a higher level, right? So that's part of that community world that we all service in WIC. However, the medical nutrition therapy becomes a deeper, more complex issue when we want to license you for that reason, right? So if you were to walk into a hospital, it'd be a completely different clientele. Those individuals on renal dialysis, going, just coming out of open heart surgeries, with diabetes and congestive heart failure. That's a different client than maybe our WIC clients, right? And doing an assessment on a fairly healthy population. Yes, we are doing assessments, but it's a fairly healthy, walkable population that are coming in to see us and that we're doing, you know, assessments and nutrition education on versus those that are gravely ill.
Yes. So okay. I understand.
Yep. Yep. You got it. You got it. Do you have any more questions before I make a motion or?
No.
Okay. You. So you would like time to maybe find in your community more medical nutrition therapy hours, and understand that those hours need to be signed off on an individual that is licensed in nutrition and nutrition and dietetics.
Yes. Would I be able to get written confirmation of that deficiency that I could present to somebody?
Ashanti, does she get a paperwork that follows that kind of defines that? I apologize. Hang on, Ms. Manning.
There will be an order, I'm assuming, depending on what the motion is, explaining these issues. Because at some point, we'll probably need to have a discussion whether or not she agrees to waive the 90 days for the council to act upon her application. So that'll be part of the discussion going forward, too. And while I'm speaking, so I don't interrupt again, just it would be helpful to staff if the council could specifically indicate if any of the hours that are submitted so far are acceptable, and what are the deficient hours, and in what areas, community or clinical. So. That would be helpful, too.
Do you understand, Ms. Manning, where you need the clinical versus the community and the
hours? Yes, I do.
Clinical?
From my understanding, my file is appropriate for licensure by examination. Granted that I can complete 300 clinical hours under a registered dietitian.
Or a licensed dietitian. Or whatever your state has. Because 48 states have licensure, and I can't remember if New York is certification or licensure, but they basically mean the same thing.
Let me also, I want to make sure I look over to make sure you're going to have the 1,000 hours. I want to just make sure that without the second 900-hour form, if there needs to be, I don't know, you currently might be doing plenty of hours that you might need to add. Council, I'm just looking real quick if somebody else wants to, if you guys are kind of understanding what I'm doing. I want to make sure we have, I'm sorry, I said 1,000. I meant the 900-hour form. I want to make sure that we have the 900 hours. 3, 6, 9. So we basically have the 900 hours, if I'm looking at this correctly. The hours are a little odd to understand, Ms. Manning. When I look at your forms, there's a lot of hours, but at the end you only say 360. What, can you explain that to me a little bit?
Yes. So in my supervisory sheet, which I attached to my profile, it explains that there were certain, and this is my misunderstanding of the 900-hour form provided by Florida Department of Health. When myself and my supervisor were looking at it, we would go over my work for, let's say, the day, over 8 hours, and section off. We would try and highlight the different competencies that we felt overlined with them. So there were certain times, for example, if I'm doing a working with one participant, that I was covering more than one competency at once. Mm-hmm. So I would say I did 1 hour of assessing nutritional status and 1 hour of providing nutritional care for people of diverse cultures and religions across the lifespan. And we would say she completed this competency and that competency today. So.
And you're talking about the 900-hour form number one.
Under Danielle Wolf, yes.
Got it. That's what I want to make sure I'm following when you say that you were working with that person. Go ahead. I apologize.
Yes. So with her, I only worked 360 hours. However, I worked over 1,000 hours with the company in general. But I completed 360 hours with her, and the way we interpreted the form was that we would double count the competencies, but we did not double count the hours.
I understand. So, counsel, I don't know how you feel, but I'm very confused by the 900-hour form of what. Is anyone else confused with the 900-hour form? I'm wondering if we also need clarification from Ms. Manning, maybe a redo of the 900-hour form, because I want to make sure that I dissect what you just said, only because I'm looking at a lot of hours, but at the end it's 360. And when you said you worked a lot of hours with the company, do you mean the company that Ms. Wolf is with? I thought she was.
Yes. So I knew that I was moving to Florida. I wanted to get licensure in Florida, of course, as a dietitian. So before I moved here, which I'm now relocated here since this week, I reached out to Danielle knowing that she's an RD, and I said, will you please sign off? Can we start collecting hours, and can you sign off on this form? She agreed. And so with her, after agreeing with her, we've worked 360 hours together, speaking, you know, at least 3 times a week. But with the company doing the same work, I worked for over 1,000 hours.
But that was all in community. Is that correct?
It was in a community setting. Yes. Same job.
Summary of the correct amount of hours. So if we could revise the form and you could just highlight your community related hours for the required amount. And then your other hours should be sectioned out. But what I am understanding from reviewing your application previously is that you need a licensed dietitian to oversee your work. What part of Florida did you relocate to?
Fort Myers.
Fort Myers. So there are plenty of hospitals in that community. HCA is a hospital. There's a boatload of long-term care facilities there. There are LTACs. So if you Google those, Google skilled nursing, long-term care, acute care hospitals like Kindred, Set, Select, those are name brands, so to speak. And then you can also look at different skilled nursing facilities. There's just so many down there to choose from. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge hospital in the Port Charlotte area that's not too terribly far. That if you reach out to the clinicians there, I'm sure they would be more than willing to help you get these hours knocked out.
Okay. And then can we clarify that it is 300 hours, or will there be more? I want to know exactly what I need to submit.
When you're looking at our 900-hour form for Florida, It will tell you at both areas, right? So you need 900 hours of pre-professional supervised experience, and that supervised experience must be by a licensed dietitian or nutritionist. And if you're looking at the form, you have to put their licensure number. Then it says the completion, a minimum of 200 in clinical, and then you list what you did with those 200 hours. The next page, it will say 200 supervised practice in community nutrition. So those are the minimum hours in those two particular areas, but it must equal 900 hours overall that's been signed off by a licensed dietitian or nutritionist. Okay. So it really, unfortunately, what I'd rather do is pretend like I'm looking at a blank 900-hour form rather than looking at your 900-hour form, because I want to make sure I follow exactly the rule of what Florida needs from you.
Would you like Danielle Wolf to fill this out again through the community?
It's really not about Ms. Wolf completing it again for the community. That part is up to you. I'll be honest with you. If you just follow the directions of what Florida needs from you, which is the 900 hours, 200 of it must be in clinical, and you describe where that medical nutrition therapy took place and the licensed dietitian and nutritionist. 200 of it can be in community, right? Doesn't mean you can't go over, but it all has to equal the 900 hours, but it all must be signed off on an individual that is licensed in nutrition and dietetics.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going to have to leave how you want to do your hours between you and Ms. Wolf. I can, you know, that's to your discretion as long as it follows our directions on our form.
Okay. It sounds like I should redo it with her since the numbers aren't adding up. It sounds like I cannot be completing more than one competency at once because of how, it looks on your end. So I will do that with her. And then it also sounds like, if I'm understanding correctly, please help me understand. So if Danielle Wolf was present was present during my time at Sun River, which was the WIC program, she can still sign off
the community hours.
Yes, to say, yes, Shannon did complete 1,000 hours at Sun River.
Right. She's the licensed dietitian nutritionist that oversaw your work during your community hours. Absolutely. That's fine.
Okay. Okay. That sounds great. I think I understand what needs to be done now. And it sounds like I will just submit a fresh application. And I'm not sure if the waiver means that my application stays intact, or if I really start over and have to resend in my West documents and transcripts. And
so the Deamer, it gives you more time, like I explained earlier, it gives you more time to collect your documents, get your 900 hour forms completed, and send those in. And it gives the council time, to review those documents as well. So based on the conversation today and what you have submitted with your application, if the council had to act today, it doesn't sound like they would approve your application. So by waiving the Deamer, you know, you'll get that time to send in your documentation. And I'm not sure if the council is going to want to have you appear or just send in your documentation and place your application on the next available council meeting. So do you waive the Deamer today?
Yes.
Okay. And then I'll leave it up to the council's discretion on how they want to proceed in collecting her supplemental documentation and placing it on the agenda. Do you want to do it similar to the previous one?
I would like to give you time. Yes, I'd like to do it similar to the previous one, Ms. Akins, only because, again, I want to my first thought is I don't know how long it's going to take for Ms. Manning to incur her clinical hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm concerned of cutting that short, being Ms. Manning that you're new to your area, and I want to give you time to find a licensed dietitian nutritionist within your area that you can go and get qualified with those hours. So I would like to give you more time for that. And I know the holidays are coming up and individuals take off work, and I just don't want to pressure you.
Okay.
Okay. And it sounds like you're an amazing individual, and welcome to Florida. We definitely don't want to have any negative news on your first few days that you've moved to our state, because we realize our cockroaches are enough. However, we want to just make sure we give you the time to get your hours. You have an excellent background, and we're happy to have you, but we just want to make sure everything is not pressure and that you get that space. So I'm going to make a motion to give you that time and space, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion, and do you have any more questions, you're welcome to stay a little bit longer so you can hear the motion. Do you have any more questions or concerns?
My question is if my application is just paused or if it gets wiped from your system and I have to start over from zero.
Madam Chair, if you may, I'll be happy to answer that.
Thank you, Mr. Hall.
No, you do not have to start the application process over again. You're simply allowing, when you waive the 90-day requirement for the council to act upon your application, you're simply giving yourself more time to provide the documentation that the council has been discussing. So, no, there won't be any additional fees. There won't be any additional documents other than the supervision requirements that the council is speaking to.
Understood. Okay.
I'm going to bring up a Murphy's Law, and I'd like advisement from Ms. Akins and Mr. Hall. If Ms. Manning is unable to complete her 300 hours within the 90-day Deamer Clause, is there another extension or situation that we have that she can still stay within our system and the time gets extended further? And I'm only thinking of that because working with individuals outside of our control, I just want to make sure I get that question answered.
So I was thinking about that. So technically, you could say that her application isn't complete, and that would put a pause on it, if you want to go that route. I don't know of a... Without waiving the Deamer, I don't know of another way to kind of toll that time.
Go ahead, Mr. Hall. I'm sorry.
And just to clarify, the 90-day deadline is not a deadline for the applicant. The 90-day deadline is a deadline for the council. The council is required to approve or deny an application, or in some circuit, toll the application within 90 days. So she has an unlimited amount of time. She's already waived the 90 days on the record. So this application will stay open until she provides it. Unless the council determines it's an incomplete application, if you determine it's an incomplete application, then you have 1 year from the time she submitted it to complete it. But if you don't want to consider it an incomplete application and she just needs to provide additional documentation, it will stay open indefinitely, and then once she provides the information, then we would put it on the agenda whenever that was. But there's no time pressure on her part. Once she waives that 90 days, there's no time pressure on her part.
That's good, because it may be challenging during the holidays to find people that will accept you.
Yeah, there was something else that I heard.
Pay up, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. one other way, if you require her appearance, that stops the clock, so to say, as well.
So that would be something we don't want to do. Is that what you mean? Ms. Akins?
Yeah, you don't want to do that because requiring her appearance, she would have to appear at one of the next two meetings. So that second meeting would be like she would have to have everything completed by that meeting date and time. So, you know, that's why waiving the deemer is the best. It's the best way to allow the applicant to be able to get what they need and allow the council to review the documents and, you know, place her on the next available meeting.
Ms. Manning, you're listening. I know you are. What are your thoughts? You okay? You have any questions?
I'm okay. We will waive the 90 days, not schedule a next appearance, and then it sounds like from Mr. Hall that it will be just available indefinitely, although I think that the initial money I gave will expire in May since it's a year. I'm going to try and have everything done by February 5th, which I know is your next meeting, and then I hope that I can get some written documentation of what we spoke about at this meeting that I can present to potential employers.
Yes, you will get an order after this meeting, and it'll detail, you know, your 300-hour deficiency in clinical hours. It'll state that you waived the deemer, and it'll state that your application will be placed on the next meeting after you submit your documentation. I haven't figured out how I'm going to wordsmith that part yet, but it'll be in your order.
Thank you very much.
Don't be concerned about the fees. The fees will not expire.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Council members, would anyone else like to make any comments before I make the motion?
No, ma'am.
Okay, here goes. I'm gonna try it and make sure Ms. Manning that we do this correct. I'd like to motion that Ms. Shannon Manning resubmit her 900-hour form that reflects the Florida rules and laws with the signature of a licensed dietitian or nutritionist on the 900 pre-professional hours, in which she will not be required to reappear at future meetings.
I agree and second that motion.
Thank you, Ms. McKee. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Any opposed, vote no. Nope. Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Manning. You seem like you've got your ducks in a row. We are happy that you showed up today. We are happy to explain our rules. If you have any questions, any concerns, we're here for you. In the meantime, we hope you have a happy holidays, and we wish you excellent success in your clinical hours.
Thank you so much, everybody. Should I stay on the call?
It's totally up to you. It's absolutely fine. We will, but we are done with your portfolio. We're happy if you want to stay in, and that's a personal decision. But thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much for yours. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again for your time.
Good morning. Apologies for the interruption. I'm the interpreter, and I just wanted to confirm if anybody's going to be requiring services this morning.
Thank you. Hang on 1 second.
That was tab 3. That individual did not apparently require interpretation. He requested it, but it never got to that point. So,
okay. Mr. Hall, can Ms. Yamashita, is she free to leave if she needs?
Unless the tab 17, Ms. Poison, are you on the line? And just verify if she is, just verify that she doesn't need any. She didn't request anything.
Hi, good morning. This is Alyssa. No, I didn't request an interpreter.
Okay, then, yes, thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Yamashika. We appreciate your time.
Hello.
Right. Council, we're ready to move on to tab 17. Alyssa, pronounce your last name for me.
Hussein.
Hussein?
Yes.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, Ms. Hussein, for being here. Ms. Hussein has applied through licensure application by examination with waiver. She has submitted her education along with her 900-hour form. Does any council members have any questions?
No.
Okay. All right, excellent. Okay. Any other concerns before I make a motion? Ms. McKee, Ms. McKinnon?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay. Then I would like to make a motion that we approve Ms. Alyssa Hussein for examination with waiver.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All those vote in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Those opposed, no. Excellent. Well, congratulations, Ms. Hussein. We appreciate
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience. Have Thank a wonderful you. Holiday.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Are we done with all applicants at this point? Are we done with?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Hall, thank you so much. I appreciate your patience too. Okay. Are we ready to move to tab 5?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. Thank you, guys. Thanks for your patience. Every time I click on a tab on a Bates, it takes forever for these Bates to load. And I think it's only because of the GoToMeeting slows everything down, because when I'm reviewing it at home alone, it's absolutely fine. All right. So this is the list of applicants approved by examination, temporary permit, and or examination with waiver. And I would like to make a motion that we approve this list, beginning with Brendan Pfeiffer and ending with Molly Catherine Malmsted.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Those approved, vote aye.
Aye.
Those not in favor, vote no. Thank you. Moving on to tab 6. The list of licenses approved for licensure by Mobile Universal Endorsement. I'd like to make a motion that we approve this list, beginning with the name Sarah Elizabeth Higgins and ending with the name Elizabeth Bear Heron.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. Thank you. Tab number 7. List of licensees approved for out-of-state telehealth registration. I'd like to make a motion that we approve this list, beginning with the report that starts with Gemma Erickson and ends with the name Sydney Wilson.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, vote no. None. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. That brings us to tab 8. Mr. Hall, were you going to review?
I'll be happy to start it off, and then I'll turn it over to Ms. Akins, as she drafted the language. But as the council recall, there was a discussion at the last meeting about amending the temporary permit rule related to specifying, if the council had that desire, the number of people that could be providing supervision. And so Ms. Akins has provided the language for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Before you, on Bates 325, you will see the proposed language, and I added a subsection 4, which states supervising licensees must be licensed under Chapter 468 and may only supervise up to 4 temporary permit holders. Sorry about that. So the language is before you. In our pre-meeting, Dr. Rivero brought up some information regarding what's, you know, industry standard, and informed us that there isn't a limit, that the associations allow. So talks on maybe, holding that language.
I agree.
I will leave it for council discussion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Agree with the language, or?
I agree with holding the language.
With holding the language?
Yes.
Okay, so I will not make any changes to the rule, and we'll leave it as is. But of course, we can always revisit if we need to, you know, if something changes, you know, next year or 2 years from now, we can revisit it.
Thank you, Ms. Akins.
No problem. Go ahead, Alex.
I may have cut you off. I apologize. What we do need to do, though, if we're not making any changes to the rule itself, we need to take a look at the current wording of the form itself, because the form may be geared to specifying a single individual. So we thought we would be looking at that, if your determination was to not change the rule, to see if the form itself needs to be changed. And if so, we could present that to you at the next meeting.
Okay.
That's great.
Well, yeah, for me. Just to add a little bit more to that, looking at the current form and just realizing how, you know, things work these days and people switch jobs a lot. So supervisors may change, but that's not, you know, it's not listed anywhere to update a supervisor if it changes. So just a kind of way to keep track and make sure that those temporary permit holders are still being supervised by a licensed dietitian, nutritionist. So, you know, we definitely saw the need to update the form for that reason alone. And then I'm going to jump to number 16. There's another rule listed. Well,
can we hang on just a second?
Yes.
So can you, are you going to present to us at the next meeting new wording for the temporary licensure that covers what the concerns are, or?
That states that a temporary permit holder should update their supervisor, with the board, yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that'll be added it'll be on the form, but I can put it in the rule language because the form is voted on by the council and it is a part of rule, but I can put it in rule language as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the next rule is 64B8-44.011. And so if you recall, when the Mobile Act came into play, it took away the council's endorsement, pathway, if you will. And there were some certifications and licensures that the council had recognized as being acceptable for receiving a license here in Florida. So I added the CNS certification and the DACBN as national certifications that the council recognizes. So we're hoping that kind of fills in the gap to where there might have been a temporary one with the Mobile Act taking away our previous endorsement pathways. So that language is before you on Bates 511. If anyone has any questions, I can answer them, or any suggestions. If you think anything else needs to be added, we can discuss that. If not, then if council could vote on the language.
Council members, do you understand that what Ms. Akins also put forth on this language, you see where CDR has also been brought back in, some of that wording along with the CNS, so that those individuals have a little bit faster clearance, if you will. And yeah. Go ahead. Anybody have any questions, Ms. McKinnon, Ms. McKee, regarding the new wording?
No.
Thank you.
All right, for initiating the process for people so they can start working.
Agreed. And I think, Ms. McKee, what it also does is it allows, like you said, those individuals in the office, a more smooth day to be able to approve individuals quicker, get this done, get people to work in Florida that are perfectly well to be licensed and do so. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion if there's no other questions. All right.
I'll second your motion. You make okay. It.
All right, hang on. I'd like to motion that we accept the wording on Rule 64B8-44.011 regarding the national certifications and qualifying credentialing.
I second the motion.
Thank you. Those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, vote no. Thank you. Thanks, Ms. Akins. That was great.
No problem. Now I have cert questions. They are listed before you starting on Bates 513 and the factors that you should be considering when answering these questions. So first question, will this rule likely have an adverse impact on economic growth, private sector job creation or employment, or private sector investment in excess of $1 million in the aggregate within 5 years after the implementation of the rule? I would advise the council, no, this is not setting any requirements on any applicants or licensees.
No. Is that all we need to say, Ms. Akins, is no, or do we need to take a vote?
Yeah, you need to vote as well.
Do I need to make a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Hang on. Let me go back to the I'd like to make a motion that the items set forth in section 120.541, part two, that the answer would be no.
I second the motion.
Those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, vote no. Thank you.
Number two, will this rule likely have an adverse impact on business competitiveness, including the ability of persons doing business in the state to compete with persons doing business in other states or domestic markets, productivity, or innovation in excess of $1 million in the aggregate within 5 years after implementation of the rule? Again, my recommendation would be no. This is actually bringing in more persons to become licensed.
Understood. All right, I would like to make a motion that we vote no on item number two, on the exact section as we voted to prior section 120.541.2, that we vote no.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Those in favor, vote yes.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. Thank you. Thanks, Ms.
And last question. Will this rule likely increase regulatory costs, including any transactional cost in excess of $1 million in the aggregate within 5 years after the implementation of the rule? As stated earlier, I would advise no, because this rule is not imposing any monetary fees whatsoever.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion that we vote no on item number three of section 120.541, area two, that we vote no.
I'll second that.
Thank you, everybody. Those in favor, vote yes.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, vote no. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me make sure I completed my section. Let me scroll back up. Oh, no. I have the rule status report. So tab 9, on Bates 330, you will see, for your information, the rules and updated rules report. Everything will be filed for adoption on Monday and then effective shortly thereafter. So we don't have any outstanding rules or JAPC letters or things like that. So that's good. And then starting on page 331, you will see the Board of Medicine's annual regulatory plan. So as we know, the council is under the board. And so the council's rules that were had to be changed due to legislation, that is included on here. And there's a new requirement. I want to bring your attention to Bates 336. So under, it was House Bill 108, Alan, is that the correct one that implemented the five-year review?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was, yes, it is 108. Yes, I'm thinking okay. Of 1808.
I was thinking of that one too. They're running together at this point. So under House Bill 108, legislation, they put a requirement on all of the boards to do a review of their rules. So the boards and councils have to review 20% of their rules every year for the next 5 years. So dietetics and nutrition, our review starts in 2027. I believe it's 2027. So that doesn't mean that we have to wait until 2027. This was just a, you know, the Board of Medicine attorney just divided up the rules and said, this is the 20% we're going to review in this year. This is 20% we're going to review in this year. We can deviate from this plan. And I plan to. So we will, I will start the rule review soon, probably beginning of next year. Once I get through the other ones that I have to do this year, but I just wanted to bring that to the council's attention that, you know, we will be looking at these rules more closely. And, you know, it's always good to review, make sure that everything is still working, everything is still in compliance, and things of that nature. So this, was, you know, signed and ratified by the Board of Medicine, but it's on here for your information. Does anyone have any questions?
No.
No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that is all that I have. Thank you.
I'm just verifying that they don't need to ratify their annual regulatory plan?
No.
Okay, good.
No, it was already done by the Board of Medicine. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could I back up to tab 16 on the national certification rule again?
Yes.
Carr, do we need to do a minor violation vote?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I missed that. Would the council like to delegate a violation of this rule as a minor violation? And I would say no, because this we're talking about an avenue for someone to get licensed, like their requirements. So I would recommend no.
Where are we at on tab 16? Where are we at?
So we have backed up to the rules. I missed the question when I was going over my cert questions.
Oh,
I missed
a
minor. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, perfect. Let me pull that up. On Bates 513?
511.
All right. Hang on.
So the question is essentially, does the council want to, if someone violates this rule, does the council want to make it a minor violation? And I would suggest no, because this rule is just stating certifications that one can have when seeking licensure.
Okay, great. You want me to make a motion?
Yes, a motion and a vote, please.
Thank you. Yep, sure. All right, I'd like to make a motion that we say no for the national certification 64B8-42.0011.
I second.
Thank you. Those in favor, vote aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Welcome.
And now I am complete with with my report.
Okay. So you were 9. I'm going to jump to tab 10, which is the chair's report, and I have none. Tab 11, Mr. Hall, do you have an executive director report?
I just have the standard quarterly reports that I provide every meeting. They're informational, so no vote is required on those.
Thank you. We also have under that tab the expenditures.
Yes, there are two reports. Yeah, there are two reports under that tab that we receive every quarter,
mm-hmm.
Expenditures by function and So that's one of them. And so, yeah, those are just informational. No specific action is required.
Thank you. All right. Under new business, if you look at tab 12, so Bates 352.
And Madam Chair, if you'd like me to tee this one up, I'd be happy to do so.
Be great. Thank you.
Council members, we've been looking at ways to more efficiently process applications here in the office. We've also had some personnel changes, and I want to be mindful. I think you are already aware that Ashante has taken over the supervisor role, and she's in the process of finding an application processor to fill the recent resignation we had in that thing. But just want to say that Ashante has been doing a fantastic job. We've already seen significant improvement in terms of application processing. And by looking at this, as you all remember, at our August meeting, we had quite a lengthy agenda. Yes. And so we were looking at that and looking at, okay, how can we, within the statutes and rules, make the process more efficient for particularly applicants and also more efficient for staff so that we can get people licensed more efficiently. And so we've come up with the streamlined process that you see here. These particular changes were made in conjunction with the board chair and also Ms. Akins before these were put into place, but we are bringing it to you for your review. We hope that you will allow us to continue to do this. I can't always guarantee that we'll only have four or five applications on the agenda, but I think this new process has made a significant inroads into all the different applications that we were having to view in the past. So I'm not going to read all over the particular documents, but if you have any questions, we'll try to answer those. But one of the key aspects of this new process, one of them was the vote that you just had on the national certification rules, which the council had already determined that back in a meeting earlier that spring, but this just codifies it into rule. But the key aspect I'd like to discuss with you today is, as part of this process, what we've been doing since we developed this was we've been sending applications to the chair for her review, and then she's been reviewing certain documents related to the individual files, and if she's been clearing them, we've been able to put those individuals on ratification list. But that can also be a significant workload for the chair. So what we would like to do, if the other council members are available and amenable, is to get additional names of council members so that we could send some of these files to the council members that are willing to participate for your review in between the various meetings. And if it's something that you can clear, we would put these individuals on ratification list. If it's something that can't be cleared, then we would put those individuals on the next meeting for individual council review. But so far, this process has been working flawlessly. But we did want to reach out to the other council members to determine if anybody else would be willing to take some of the burden off the chair in between the meetings. That would be great. We also, before we have that discussion, we've also set up a standardized process for providing the documentation to the members that are participating. Ashante, you want to kind of walk us through that process so they'll be aware?
Yes. So staff will be building files to send to the council members. We will be putting the application, all 900-hour forms and supervisor license verifications, their education, and any certifications that they may have inside of a big file, and we'll send it directly to the council member so they have all the files, all the documents at hand to review. So it's kind of similar to how the agenda is set up. It just won't have a summary, the notice section, or the correspondence section. So we'll send that out. I'm sorry, go ahead, Ms.
Well, maybe you're about to say the timing aspect of it.
Yes. So the way we'll do it is we'll try to alternate, alternate weeks. So we'll have one council member. We'll send it to them on Wednesdays by close of business of each week. So we'll send it to one council member for that week. And then the next week, we'll send the next set of files to a different council member so that we're evenly distributing the files and the applications that we have so that one council member isn't so overwhelmed with all the applications.
So you take the five of us, I just want to clarify, the five of us, all the council members would be on like a weekly schedule. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Well, whichever council members wish to participate. You're not required to participate, but yes, if all five wish to participate, yes, we would do that and rotate the names.
Can we email the councils and confirm that they are all willing, the council members, and confirm they're all willing to participate and then develop the schedule there?
Yeah. What we were planning on doing is, since we have two council members that are not present with us today, we have two options. We could put it on the discussion at the next meeting, but if we wanted to be more efficient, the council members that are present today that are willing to do so, you can just let us know that. And then I would reach out to the two remaining council members who are not able to be present here to see if they wish to participate. And if they do, we would add them to the rotation.
So I'm willing to participate, and I would suggest that we reach out to the people that are not here today and ask them to participate.
Mm-hmm. And I'll help. Claudia will help too. I'll participate.
So Claudia, does Rebecca need to, would she be a consideration since she's not a clinician, or how would that work?
That was going to be my question.
I don't think there's a legal determination that she can't do it. She's a full council member, but again, as you indicated, she's a consumer member. If she doesn't feel like that she would potentially be comfortable answering some of these nuanced questions, that's certainly, there's no reason why she would have to do it. It's really at her comfort level.
I think I'll just bow out on that since I'm not a clinician.
Okay.
Thank you, Rebecca. Yeah. Yes, and Rebecca, like Mr. Hall said, we still have Dr. Lori Wright and Ms. Lucille Bessler, council members that are absent, that are more than likely going to be willing to help out. So we appreciate your membership, more importantly, but we don't want to make this stressful. We love having you on council.
Thank you.
In terms of timing, as I should have indicated, your set schedule, I close the business Wednesday. Any files that need to be reviewed would be sent out. But in terms of the time back to us, there's not a specific deadline for you on that. So we don't want to put any pressure on Noah. We all know you have busy lives outside of the council. So, but you know, even if it took a week or two, or whatever it takes, 3 weeks, whatever it takes, it's still faster than waiting until potentially the next 3 months for the next meeting. Right. So there'll be no pressure in terms of that. Pardon me?
Yeah, it's a great system, and I concur that we all proceed with that.
Yep.
I totally agree.
And Ashanti, thank you for being here. We're so excited you're with us. Really.
Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you so much. And I think as our first line of defense and making sure we stay on top of it, please feel free, and I'm saying this out loud, and I don't need anyone else to endorse this, but please feel free to reach out to me, call me. Whenever you need me, I'm here for you, and I want to make sure that I'm available. So, you know, you've got my cell number, and you guys, I'm here. So, Ashanti, I just so appreciate your existence today, my friend. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, council members. That concludes tab 12, unless you have additional comments.
No, sir.
Okay. Woohoo. Moving on. I can't believe it. Let's not even say anything out loud. All right. So we're moving to tab 13, which is dietetics and nutrition practice. Don't have anything under that tab, correct?
Those are just the minutes.
Say it again, Mr. Hall. I'm sorry.
Those are the minutes, so you minutes. Need to take action on those. You'll see them on Bates 354 starting.
Okay. All right, I don't know why I'm not able to see Bates 354. Hang on.
A box will come up and you can expand all that you should open everything up.
Okay. So, I am not able to pull this down. If someone else is able to see it, hang on. It's just now coming in. Hang on. Let me make sure. Don't know if I can bring it in. No, I'm not able to bring in old business. It says content status unknown. And even though it says the minutes are under there, I'm not able to pull it in.
Are you on the August 7th, 2025 tab under the tab 13, there's another drop down.
Yeah, I see the drop down.
Okay.
Okay, here it comes. It just now came in. It's odd that you said that. You must have the magic touch. Okay. So, after I did it like 100 times, here's the drop down. Sorry guys, it's coming in. All right, so under Bates 354, I see our Dietetics Nutrition Practice Council minutes from August 7th, 2025. Does anyone have any questions or concerns about the minutes presented? Any comments? Make a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Oh, perfect. Rebecca seconded. Thank you. Those in favor vote aye.
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 Those against vote no. Thank you. That is tab 13. And I think, have we covered all the other tabs?
We have.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, stay quiet. We don't want to knock, or let's knock on wood that this is,
ourselves.
Don't be too. Yep. Thank you guys. So this concludes the, meeting for November 6, 2025, our last meeting of the year. And we are done.
Madam Chair, if I may,
thank you for everyone for participating. It was a great meeting.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was efficient. Thank you for Ms. Martin. Thank you, Dr. Rivera. Thank you, Ms. Atkins and Mr. Hall. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very much. Thank you.
Just as a reminder, I just want to go ahead and it's been a while since you approved the 2026 dates. If you don't mind, I'll give them to you again so you'll know what's going on in 2026.
These are the dates
the council approved at an earlier meeting in 2025. So the next meeting is going to be February 5th. After that, it's going to be May 7th, August 6th, and then following that, November 5th. Those are our meetings for 2026.
Thank you. I've calendared them already.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. All right. This has been wonderful. Thank you guys for everything that we've all worked together on this team. I love it.
Thank you so much. It's a great team. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, thanks. And we're not going to speak. Have a great holiday, all the holidays.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for reminding us.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye.